Title of today's sermon is The Passion of the Christ. Can we say that together? The Passion of the Christ. Amen. My initial title was Resurrection Power, but we're going to do that next Sunday, because I don't want to jump into that without laying the foundation. Resurrection Power is made possible by the Passion of the Christ. So that way we have to start from. Amen. So open your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. The Passion of the Christ. You know, I wanted to say the title was The Passion of Christ, but I remember that maybe there are many Christs. There can be false Christ. There's only one true Christ. Amen? Only one. The Christ, actually, is the Greek version of the Jewish, the Hebrew word Messiah, or Mashiach. Yeah? So there's only one. Yeah? True Messiah. Hallelujah? There's only one chosen, you know, one of God. And that is Jesus, Yeshua. Yeshua our Mashiach. Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah? So we're looking at Jesus the Christ. Not any other Christ. Not any other Savior. Not any other Messiah. Only Jesus. Say with me, say only Jesus. You know, John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way. It's definite, it's absolute, it's unapologetic. Amen? I am the truth. It's not your truth versus my truth. Amen? Jesus is what? The truth. There's only one truth. Amen? And who is he? It's Jesus. And he says, I am also what? The life. Hallelujah. You see, when you know the way, you will be able to receive the truth. Hallelujah. And when you receive the truth will make you free. You'll be able to enter the life. Hallelujah. The way takes you into the truth. And the truth brings you into what? The life of God. Isaiah 53, are you there? Yeah? Are you there? Verse 1-5. We're going to look at the old chapter. But let's just do 1-5 first. Yes, who is ready? 53, 1-5. New King James or New King James? New King James or King James? Or New Living? Yes, Isaiah 53, 1-5. Go for it.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen. Can you read verse 6, please?
Yes. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen. Amen. Now, what I'm trying to make you see in Isaiah 53 today is that what you see in Isaiah 53 is Jesus, yeah, on the way to the cross. Hallelujah. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, it was beautiful, it was handsome. I mean, Jesus wasn't an ugly man. Amen. He was a beautiful Savior. Yeah? Gentle, kind, yeah? Loving, compassionate. Amen? But when they arrested him, yeah? When they arrested Jesus, if you look at your Bible, you can check all this in the Bible. The Bible says that they bound him. He was bound. So basically, he was put in chains. Yeah? Then they arrested him from that Garden of Gethsemane. He was put what? In chains. That was meant to be bound. It's in your Bible. He said he sent him bound. Yeah? That's the beginning of the passion. Before that time, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he already knew, you know, what was to come, he was praying, The Bible said he sweat. When Jesus prayed, he prayed for 3 hours. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And the Bible said that his sweat became like great drops of blood. Yeah, that's what he had to go through. Yeah, for me. Meaning that actually when Jesus saw what's about to go through, yeah, his flesh shrinked, or you know, his flesh did not want to. No flesh wants to go to suffering. No flesh wants to go to torture. No flesh wants to go to pain. No flesh wants to go to crucifixion. Amen? And that's why he prayed for God's help. And the Bible said his sweat was like great drops of blood. Hallelujah. And so they arrested him and they bound him. Hallelujah. And they took him for questioning. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that, you know, when the high priest asked Jesus, you know, a question, and Jesus replied him, one of the officers was not happy and they slapped Jesus. It's your Bible. He hit him. You were talking to that preacher and just said, what have I said wrong? Yeah? And the Bible says that, you know, when they decided to condemn me, they spit on him. Hallelujah. And they spit on him. Hallelujah. And because they arrested him violently, they will have hit him. It was, when something is illegal, it's not like today's modern world, yeah, where the prisoner has his rights. Hallelujah. They maltreated him. And that's why we say that there was no, they so much maltreated him that when you looked upon him, there was what? No beauty. You see, when you look, after they've dealt with him, what you saw was repulsive. Hallelujah. Yeah? His body was broken. Do you know what does that mean? His body was broken. What does that mean? You know, we say that every time in communion. What does it mean when we say his body was broken? Anybody? Because we say it all the time, don't we? He said his body was broken. What does that mean? Anybody? Let me give you an idea. Then you can develop it. Isaiah 53, verse 5. You know it, but let's look at it again. But he was wounded. What does it mean to be wounded? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. What does it mean to be bruised? I'm coming to you for some answers. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. What does it mean to be chastised? And by his stripes we are healed. What does stripes mean? Let's try to explore those words. Yes, he was wounded. What does it mean when you say someone was wounded? Someone was bruised. Someone was chastised. Someone received stripes. Come on, help me. What does it mean? Let's explore it. Just understand the passion of the Christ so we can understand the sacrifice and what it means.
Flogged.
Flogged. To have stripes, there was flogging. Yes, more? Yes, more? Just take any word. Wounded, bruised, chastised, stripes. Yes. Just let's explore it and try to understand better what we're saying.
Stamped or cut?
Yeah, it was what?
Stamped or cut?
Stamped or cut! To have stripes, the flesh must be what? Pierced or damaged or broken. Amen? Yeah, more? What does it mean to be wounded, bruised, chastised? Say? Afflicted. It was afflicted. So let me give you another word for that. It was tortured. I want you to understand that on the way to the cross, yeah, Jesus was tortured. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was tortured. So think about modern torture. Jesus was tortured. More than the modern one. I know you don't picture it, but that's exactly what happened. He was tortured more than the modern one. Such that people could look at him and like, oh, I can't look at that. You see, he said we could not look. Because his body was actually what? Broken. Yes, any other words? Wounded, bruised, chastised. Yes, mentally. I mean, like, for example, imagine that he's not even bruised, but everybody was spitting on him. Is that funny? That's rejection, isn't it? And in fact, they were spitting on him and he was bound. What does that mean? Someone is bound and they are spitting on him. What does that imply? You can't wipe it. And this is someone who has the power to call down 10,000. This is someone who has, at that moment, is still at the power. I want you to understand the meekness of Jesus. Understand the passion, the meekness. Yeah? What he had to go through. When God, or the Son of God, has to go to the cross, it's a great meekness because at any time, because when he was being arrested, Peter came up because Peter is the activist. No, not necessarily, but he told Jesus, you know what? Even if every other person will deny you, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death. It's in the Bible. And then, in a matter of less than half a day, in a matter of seconds, yeah? Within a minute, he denied him twice. Amen? Do you know, but there was another disciple who did not boast about that. And he stayed out even to the cross, to the end. He saw it all. John. That's why if you want some special details about Jesus, you have to read the book of John. And all through that book, he didn't identify. He just said, he's the disciple that Jesus loved. Hallelujah. But he saw him say that way because he saw what Jesus, he appreciated what Jesus did for him. Are you with me? So he was rejected. But he had the power. Yeah? Even at that moment, when they were torturing him, when they were bullying him, he was bullied. He was what? Bullied. He could bring them down that moment. He told Peter, he said, Peter took out a knife and fought one of the soldiers and cut off someone's hair. Right at that moment when Jesus was being arrested, he took the ear and put it back and healed it. So he still has power. Amen. And he told Peter, he said, you know what? Right now, I can call for a legion of angels to come and fight for me. But if I do that, then I cannot fulfill the will of the Father. If I do that, yes, I can be a military messiah, but I will not save your soul. I can save your country, but I will not what? Save your soul. And what value is your country to you after you are dead? It's your soul that is of a greater value. Amen? And so it was meekness for him to do nothing when he could have done much more. Hallelujah. And he did it for you and he did it for me. Amen? I remember chatting with someone, during the week, or whether this week or last week, and we're talking about, the cross, and we're sort of comparing it with the pain, of a woman in labor. They don't compare. The pain of a woman in labor is not up to 1%. And this is a 10. I said 1% of what Jesus went through. His body was broken. His flesh was mangled while alive. Hallelujah. And why did he take it? Why did he allow his body to be broken? Why? When the flesh is broken, all through that time the flesh is broken, blood is pouring. Amen? So when we talk about the blood you're being shed, you need to understand that it came through pain and sorrow. Hallelujah. Why? Why did Jesus allow his body to be broken? Yes? The answer is in your Bible, but I want to take some answers. Why? Why did he have to go through that?
Because he wanted to save mankind.
Because he wanted to save mankind. Yes, more. There's more answers. That's a good one. More? More?
He had to take the full sins and wickedness of mankind.
He took the full wickedness. Or let's say it this way. He took the full wickedness of sin. Sin is wicked. All sin is wicked. All. All sin is destructive. The reason why God says don't sin is that it destroys. Yeah? And so sin is wickedness. And it took the full wickedness of sin. One of the things that they did to him, they did because they were proud and arrogant. They just hated him. Bible says even Pontius Pilate, yeah? Pontius Pilate, when he was trying Jesus, said, I find no fault in this man. That is a Gentile telling the Jews that this man is innocent. Are you with me? He tried him over and said, I don't find any fault. And Bible said Pilate knew that they wanted to hand him over because of jealousy. So you can see that jealousy, which is a sin, is wicked. Does that make sense? Jealousy is what? It's jealousy that would make someone see something good that belongs to someone else and then go and destroy it. Just for the fun of it. Yeah? It's jealousy that will make someone see something good in another person and not be able to celebrate it. They don't just want to, you know, there are people in the world that all they know how to do is how to bring down others. All of their spiritual power. They have power. But all the spiritual power ever did was what? I said, why can't you use your spiritual power to help people go up the ladder? Why is it that all the power you have is how to bring people? I don't want to serve that type of God. You know, I was in Barbin Saloon. Do you realize I was in Barbin Saloon? This week. And I like to go to the Barbin Saloon. Because when I've gone to the Barbin Saloon, I've told them, you know, the Baba knows I'm a pastor. It's good. Because it allows me to operate. So, as I go there, he welcomed me, oh, Reverend Father. I said, no, sir. I'm neither a reverend nor a father. Pastor is okay. Amen. Pastor is okay for me. Hallelujah. That's not where I'm going. That was just a diversion. I'll come back to the point because I've forgotten it. But the Holy Spirit will remind me why I'm going there, you know, just to make the point to you. Now, coming back to what we're saying about Jesus, yeah, is the passion of the Christ, yeah? He took it all in. So why did he allow his body to be broken? Now, we talked to save our sins, to take the full wickedness. There's one more answer I have not found. Read Isaiah 53:5. Yes?
To fulfill the will of the Father.
Yes, to fulfill the will of the Father. Yes, I agree. 53:5. Why? Why would Jesus allow his body? You don't understand. When his body was broken, his flesh. You know, the Bible, there's a statement in the Bible Jesus told them, as we're talking, he said, destroy this temple, and I will, what? I will build it in 3 days. But the Bible says that they thought he was talking about the Jerusalem temple, but actually he was talking about what? His body. So, do you realize that Jesus' body was destroyed? I mean, like, while he was still alive. Because that's what you see in Isaiah 53:3. His body was actually what? Destroyed. He could not go on living without, but they messed it up. Are you with me? Why? The question is, why did he allow that? Why did Jesus, the Messiah who has power, allow his body to be destroyed? Of course, it reflects the full weight of sin. That's how terrible sin is. But verse 5, Isaiah 53:5.
So we could be healed.
So we could be healed. Please put your hands together for her. That's the star answer. It's a reverse. I want you to understand that on the way to the cross, Jesus felt sick. He was sicker than what? Sick. Because when somebody's body is that destroyed, they will feel sick. I don't know if you are following what I'm trying to explain to you. The torture, the wound, the bruise, the stripes. Don't talk about the rejection yet, yeah? Don't talk about, you know, just talk about the physical pain he was in. Is more than enough to make anyone feel what? Sick. In fact, someone will die. In fact, what Jesus went through, he should have died before he got to the cross.
Yeah, dear Pastor, I'm looking here at the last line of 5, and with his stripes we are healed. That indicates that there could not have been much, if any, skin left, because it's all blood. It's stripes.
It was bloody. Hallelujah.
He was mutilated.
He was mutilated. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to show you what he did. So, because what I'm really trying to do today is stimulate your faith. And I will stimulate your faith. Because I'm not going to finish it there. We're going to change gear. Amen? He took it so that you can be what? Healed. Hallelujah. He took it. Like, when you come to me and tell me my life is messed up. Yeah? For those 12 hours, Jesus was messed up. Now, the difference is that if your life is messed up, look, you were born in sin. I don't mean it that way. What I'm trying to say is that you are born of a human being who is prone to sin. You yourself, you are prone to sin. Your father is not perfect. Your mother is not perfect. You yourself, you are not perfect. We've all done things wrong at some point or the other, isn't it? So, there can still be an excuse. Yeah? You live in an imperfect world. You came from an imperfect village. You know? You don't know what your parents or your grandparents exposed themselves to and opened a door in your life. Though you can still trace what you're going through to something that you did or someone did. Are you with me? But Jesus, there was nothing he did wrong. His generation, lightning, there was nothing. He's the Son of God. His seed is coming from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? There is no, you can't trace it. So, there was no basis for him to be punished. There was no basis at all. Even when they were trying him, the witnesses could not agree. Yeah? So they had to make him incriminate himself. You know the idea I pre-condemned Jesus. He said, I command you under oath. Tell me if you are the Son of God. Yeah? So he has to declare the truth, isn't it? And that's the basis of condemning him. So he took it for you. Now what I'm going to is that, so that when you come up and say, you know what? My life is messed up. Things are not working. You know? I have a raw deal. Remember Jesus. Remember what? Jesus. Your deal was no more, can never be as raw as Jesus. Are you with me? Yeah? He did not deserve it at all. Yet he took it on for you. Amen? He took it for you. And if Jesus took it for you, there is hope. Hallelujah. That's why I like that song that talks about Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. The reason why he took it, why he allowed himself to be wounded, he allowed himself to be bruised. The version usually says crushed. Yeah? He took the punishment. You know what it means to be punished? He was what? Punished. You know, he hung on the cross what? Naked. Because crucifixion was not only the most wicked form of execution designed in history, it was also designed to be shameful. When a person is crucified, they are put to public shame. Are you with me? And he took it for you. Now let's change gear. Move from physical to emotional. Yeah, okay? Isaiah, go back to Isaiah. And then after this, we'll take it forward. Isaiah. Verse 7. Isaiah 53. Verse 7 to 9. Yes? 7 to 9, Isaiah 53:7-9. Someone, yes, go for it. Isaiah 53:7-9.
Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to be slaughtered, and as a sheep before the shelter is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, from the transgression of my people. He was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Amen. He did no violence, yet the rawest violence was meted out to him. Hallelujah. He loved, but yet he was rejected. Amen. He was despised. You can imagine that at the beginning of the week of crucifixion, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. You know that? Palm Sunday. And they were the people. Someone say people. Somebody say people. You need to beware of what? People. Yeah? They were waving palms and say, Hosanna in the highest. It was as if the whole of Jerusalem was welcoming him. Yeah? And that was Sunday. But by Friday, yeah? By Friday, the crowd that gathered at the palace of Pontius Pilate, what were they shouting? Now, the issue was not the rejection. The issue was what? The issue was not the crucifying. The issue was what? The rejection. Amen? Hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Let's talk to God. At this junction, just talk to God.